Hey, what's up, golf guys? Brett Gunning, Sam McKee here, popping in for another pod. It's a major championship week, and your boys took a trip to Berta. We'll get to that a little later on. But Sammy, how you doing this morning, bud?
Good, buddy. I was looking to record yesterday, obviously, and then Toronto, where we both, well, you live in the area. You live in the little west of here. Got hit with some biblical rains and lost power for almost 7 hours. There was major flooding. Just before we get into all the major championship stuff we're going to get into, Robert McIntyre, all that, just want to give a shout out to the supers around the Toronto area. Yes. I saw some downright depressing photos of some courses that were hit really hard by the rains. So I'm thinking of the course, I'm thinking of the supers, I'm thinking of the members. It's just absolutely brutal. And, you know, it didn't feel like anybody knew that was coming. It just kind of came quick, and it was tough to manage. So Godspeed, all you supers, to get stuff back in order here and get the members back out there. But yeah, it feels like it's going to be a little while before some of the courses in the GTA are totally playable.
Yeah, I started morning show this morning with a rant about that, which I'll save, but I made sure to end it by just like thoughts and prayers to all the supers and the cutters and, you know, Bobby Mack's dad out there, just a grass cutter. I pray for all those guys who, I don't know that they'll be able to get to any of the grass to cut it anytime soon. I think they're water pumpers is what they are right now. But yeah, a lot of work ahead for them. And I'm being honest, I hope they get to it because I'd like to play some golf. And hope everyone's doing okay out there. Happy people are starting to get their power back. All right.
Yeah.
In terms of the golf, quick shout out, Bobby Mack. I mean, our boy, Canadian Open champ. So we have to love him forever. The squinty shinty player, if you will, as I'm wont to call him. Big, big win for him at home. I mean, I love the scene of Thagala up in the gallery, basically watching him there. It feels like this guy is having a bit of a coming out party. I guess you could say it goes all the way back to him making a Ryder Cup team last year. But Bobby Mack having a moment here.
Yeah. So a couple things. I'll start with, I will say there's a little bit of, not, I don't know what the right word is here, but the fact that in 2 years of the PGA Tour, we've had two guys win their own national open with a walk-off putt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for Robert McIntyre, but I will say, I do think it does take away a little bit from the Nick Taylor moment. It's a touch where it's like, oh, and both of these moments are the same kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I honestly hadn't put two and two together, but you're right. Yeah.
And the way that he had the reaction too, he did the exact same thing with the putter flip, with the double hand, fist pump. I thought they were, outside of his being, 15 feet for the win and Nick Taylor's being 72 feet, I thought they were very eerily similar moments. I know one was in a playoff and one was on the 18th hole. I know all that. Just to me, I won't say it takes away, because I'm happy for Robert McIntyre, and he's a great champion of the RBC Canadian Open, which I'm really, really happy that he got. Now he's getting these other moments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I couldn't help but be a little bit maybe jealous and missing how great of a moment that was, and being in the afterglow of Nick Taylor winning that. There wasn't much like that. So that was my original takeaway when I saw the putt and I saw the reactions. I was just a little bit jealous. I missed having that little time capsule gunner.
Oh man, I honestly hadn't put two and two together. That's well said by you. And yeah, the Taylor thing, his putt will always be cooler because it was 72 feet in a playoff.
In the fourth playoff hole. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty nuts. But I mean, seeing that from this generation's big shot Bob, you love to see it. Yeah, go ahead.
Can we quickly talk about the ruling?
Of course. Go for it.
Golf to me, like, there's certain things that I'm just like, that's the most golf thing ever. And finding a sprinkler head while doing a practice swing and then getting relief, we got to draw the line somewhere. I think there's a million stupid rules in golf.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Like, if you expose something with a practice swing that you had no idea was there before, I don't think you should get the relief. Like, is that crazy to say? Like,
no,
I don't know that I'm
all the way there. My thought on it is just, this is great, and we look at it one way because it's Bobby Mack. Imagine this was, I mean, we can go all the way to the top. Imagine this is Patrick Reed, but like even imagine this is your boy, Bryson, a divisive figure. Not that he is one now, but you understand what I'm saying. Somebody who people feel polarized on one side or another. It's like Bobby Mack's this good, feel good story, wins his home open. Everyone's sitting there going, great, lovely, good for him. But can you imagine this was somebody with some checkered past or somebody who, again, is polarizing? We'd feel very differently about it. So no, I don't think that's nuts at all.
Okay, so I was just thought that was a little bit greasy, but you know what? You got to get a little grease to win a big tournament, and good for him. Really happy for him. And, you know, you see him interviewed after. He just seems like a genuinely awesome guy.
He does.
And, you know, him winning the RBC Canadian Open and then ditching a elevated event, which is like monster purses, just to go back and party with the boys, tells you all you need to know about him. So I'm a huge fan of Robert McIntyre. I'm loving this sort of rise for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that he's heard from this weekend at Troon. So yeah, let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah. So Royal Troon, the host of this year's Open Championship. First time we've been back there since 16, when Mickelson and Stenson had one of the great major championship duels. It's always funny with these open rota courses. Like, they are all very different, and I know I'm kind of leading the horse to water a little bit here, but they also all kind of look a little bit the same. I'm just excited to kind of be back at Troon. It's nice when we get one of these, and this is the thing about the open, right? It's like you're going to get a course, relatively speaking, every 7-8 years. You know, the postage stamp is kind of the famous hole there, but I think it's just always fun to kind of rediscover these courses as you watch along throughout the week. That's probably my kind of, well, my favorite part is that I get to wake up incredibly early and watch golf. But actually, from a coverage standpoint, it does feel like we get to learn so much about these courses when we kind of rediscover them every year.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I'll do it.
Just give your take quickly, and then we can move on. I don't need to bash you about it.
I have no idea which is which. Like, the only ones I know is the old course. And all the other ones to me could be the exact same golf course, and I couldn't be able to tell you a difference on television. Like, I'm sure if we went and played and you did the tour, you'd be like, oh, the intricacies and this hill over here and this hill over there. And this is the hill that somebody made a par from, blah, 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 blah. Like, all these different intricacies of all these courses. I understand it when you're standing on the tee. And maybe for people who have played them, it's better to watch it on TV because you understand what's going on. But just for me, they could play the exact same course every year and tell me it's a different name, and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I just find it so monotonous to watch. It's all the same kind of shot, trying to hit it low, keep it out of the rain, get a good bounce. Like, it's not an appealing style of golf for me. And I got to tell you, it's my fourth favorite major. Like, it's at the bottom. I don't like the early start times. I don't love the style of golf. If there's no weather, guys go minus 22. And then if there is weather, it's just whipping around. Everybody looks miserable. I don't know. It's just not for me. And I know that's probably an insane take for people that listen to the show. If you're hardcore enough to listen to the golf show, you probably like Lynx Golf. But to me, it's just like, if you ask me, hey, Sam, where do you want to go for a golf trip?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Scotland or do you want to go to South Carolina? I am sprinting down to South Carolina. Like, there is no comparison of the two types of golf for me. I love like the American style, parkland.
Yep.
You know, that's me. So I don't really know where else to go on that. We can move on from it. But I do respect the creativity it takes to win one of these babies. But to watch it for me on TV, it's just not visually appealing.
So it's funny. I don't disagree at all with the first part of what you said. It's like, I would obviously love to do a golf trip for me to the UK, Scotland, England, whatever that, Ireland, whatever that means. But if given my druthers, Bandon Dunes or Tobacco Road or something along those lines, I would much rather play it. But visually, I think we see so much of that week in, week out. We don't get this other than the 2 weeks a year. And then maybe there's one kind of linksy stop that we'll get elsewhere. So that for me is the difference. But yeah, we don't need to beat around the bush. You want to do Rory first, or do you want to do Scheffler here?
I just have a little Scheffler take. Sure. It's not a huge one, but I do think that there's a bit of pressure here on him coming into this because the last time we saw him at a major championship, he played awful golf and he was not good. He made the cut, didn't he? Barely made the cut, but I think he was in the 70s all four rounds, if I'm not mistaken. He was not solid. You know, it was not a great week for him at Pinehurst number 2. And if he's going to be talked about in these rarefied airs that everybody talks about him in, myself included, I'm a huge fan of him. I have been since he's been coming up, since his rookie of the year, first year on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is kind of a big tournament for him to go over there to show he can compete in an Open where it's not one of these elevated events that has 70 guys in it. And like, I know this is Ben Zag. I was talking to Ben Ennis about this on the golf course, and I'm starting to come around on it a little bit. To me, he's got to go over there, show that he can play a different style of golf. Everybody wants to compare his run to Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter where they were playing. You could have had the moon open.
God,
yeah. Oh my God.
Same
the same per- yeah. Same person. Anyways, you got the moon open and he's still going to be able to win. Right. So to me, I think this, for his sort of dominance and for him to sort of talk about this, I do think that he really needs to have a great performance. He doesn't necessarily need to win Gunner, but I need to see him in the mix and have him be one of the sort of contenders when we come down to it on Sunday, because I think it's just, you know, the last performance at the last major was not pretty. And I'd like to see him kind of bounce back here. Is that too much to ask? Is it too extreme?
No, it's not. I think the different aspect of it is the thing I want to hit on. This will shock you. Ben's given me his Scheffler take as well. And, you know, I don't disagree with it on theory, although I've kind of, not me looking at the numbers, like other people have looked at the numbers and then they've said, hey, look at these numbers. The strength of field stuff is as comparable to maybe not the true peak of like Tiger when the fields weren't anything like this, but it is pretty comparable to before the live exodus of what he's done. His Open Championship record, he had a T8 in 2021, then it's a top 21, top 23. You do want to see him back in the top 10 here, and I think it's so important to mention the Tiger. If he is going to be on that level, Tiger was not a horses for courses guy. He was the horse for every course, and it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter where it was.
And you have to be able to do both. You have to be able to have the elite ball striking and go pick it on a Parkland course and just put your foot down when you have the chance, but you also have to show that you have the ability to do this and play maybe a more safe game, maybe play a more pragmatic one, maybe hit these weird shots that you only kind of see on links courses. And I don't think we've seen that yet from Scheffler. I'm not so much that I need to see it, but if he is merely one of these guys that we talk about in the same class as a Brooks Koepka or a Bryson DeChambeau, then sure, he can not do well at the Open Champ, or Rory McIlroy for that matter. He can not do well at the Open Championship. But if he wants to be the guy for this era that we talk about on like Galt's Mount Rushmore and somebody that we think is going to go be Tiger, this is the event he has to show it. Because I kind of have seen it enough at a PGA stop here or there or the other three majors. So no, I like that take. That's good. I mentioned him there, Rory. First time we've seen him since the incident. I know he was over there at the Scottish Open, but I think for a lot of people, this will be the first reintroduction to him. I have no idea what to expect. I don't think he shoots himself in the foot. He had that terrible record of missing the first tee in the first fairway in the first round of like every Open Championship going back 3, 4, 5 years. I don't think we see him just blow up immediately. But I also don't think we see some transcendent spectacle from him. It's so odd for me. I normally have a pretty good feel one way or another. I'm not always right, but I have a pretty strong opinion on where Rory's going to be. I genuinely have no idea what to expect this week from him.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think having him be in the top five at the Scottish Open is probably huge for him and huge for a lot of his fans. Like the fact that he came back from his little vacation from golf, that he came back and he looked like himself, is probably pretty good for him. And he probably needed it, right? Like he needed to just play solid golf and feel like himself and just kind of be back and kind of forget what happened at Pinehurst number two. So I'm more inclined to say that he's going to look like himself this weekend after what he did at the Renaissance Club. Was it the Renaissance Club?
Yes, it was.
But I heard some Renaissance Club. I'm like, I think it's just Renaissance. Anyways, he looked good. So I'm not too worried about him, but I do think there is a bit of pressure off of him just because of how much worse can it get than Pinehurst number two, Gunner? Like, I don't know what you can go and do that's going to be worse than
just shooting him. Let's just say he blows up. He's 6 over par today and then just doesn't get himself in it at all tomorrow.
Like, just spontaneously combusted.
That would be worse. Like, I would agree. Just flat out dying in the middle of a major. That would be tough. And then I would truly talk about how he's cursed. But no, I mean, I'm like, what do you think? Would that be worse if he is just seen to bow out, or would it be, all right, the year's over for him. We'll see this guy at Augusta. And obviously, you know, he'll play playoffs and things like that. But
yeah,
would that be worse to you, or would the Cam Smith, you're right there at the end and it happens all over again, be worse? Because I can talk myself into both. Because on one hand, you want to see him right back there in the mix.
Yeah.
The thing he is telling us all at every turn is, hey, keep giving me punches and I will eventually break through with this thing. So I think he would say, hey, way better to be there. But God, from a scar tissue standpoint, how can you sit there and say, no, it'd be great if he suffers another vital wound at the end of one of these tournaments?
Yeah, but I mean, but if he gets in it and he starts hitting a couple putts,
I know,
and he hits a couple shorties, maybe that wakes him up and gets him going, and he's, you know, maybe then he goes on and wins the Masters next year. You know, like, oh, just
don't tempt me with a good time.
Just to prove himself that he can do it again. It's all going to come down to muscle memory, buddy. When if he's in the mix and he gets down to it and he's got a 3-footer, it's going to be, he's thinking back to Pinehurst. He's trying to quiet down those thoughts. But I'm sure he's, if not the betting favorite, second favorite to Scotty, sure he's right up there. I expect a good weekend from him. He's usually in the mix at the Open. I would think that he'll look good, but it just comes down to Sunday, and it comes down to those memories. And you know what golf is like, the mental game. You're thinking about those putts that you missed. You're not thinking about making the putt. You know, our boy, was it Dr. Fitzsimmons from Golf Canada, would talk about just, hey, man, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to miss a putt. For him, those were pretty costly. So we'll see what happens, but I'm expecting a good weekend from him. And I think he'll be in the mix. It just comes down to making a couple puttos on Sunday, buddy.
Yeah. Last time it was at Royal Troon, he was a T5 at the Open Championship there. That was part of a pretty three straight run of top five finishes for him. But that's kind of been his thing at the majors as of late. Somebody who has only played 3 majors and not as of late in his entire life, Ludvig Åberg. The man will not stop, McKee. He was another top 5 last week. Certainly had plenty of chances late at the Scottish Open there. I was a little surprised to see that. You know, this is a guy from Sweden, so I guess the idea of golf in Europe shouldn't be surprising to him. But we've seen him mostly on the kind of more North American Parkland-style courses, and he's been great there. This is the stuff we talked about with Scheffler's. Can you do the other thing? If he goes out, and he doesn't have to win, but if Åberg posts a result here, something in the top 10, something, even having a moment where he's kind of there leading things on Saturday, depending how it goes, it just feels like another kind of brick we're stacking up in the, and I know he hasn't won one yet, but it's remarkable this first career, this first year of kind of pro golf and change for him.
Yeah, he's crushing it. He's having an unbelievable rookie campaign. Well, I guess not rookie, because last year.
Yeah.
But this is his real, like, yes, arrival
exactly
on the tour this year. And he's been awesome. But I think he's been a little shaky on Sundays. I saw somewhere that he hasn't scored has he not shot around under 70 on Sunday since the Masters?
I don't know.
I feel like he's.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't know. That's just, I maybe saw that on X somewhere or saw it on Sportsnet Central. I don't know where I saw it, but I feel like that's right. So don't quote me if it's wrong, but I feel like that's in my brain. I saw it. So that's part of the learning experience where you have to finish strong. And like, that's 4 full days of golf. And I know he's a strapping young man, but it's a mental grind and you're really tired and you're trying to figure this stuff out. It'll come for him. And, you know, I love watching him play golf. I hope that he's in the mix. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't be putting my hard-earned dollars on him here yet. It's hard to win these majors. And I think we got so spoiled by him at the Masters. We're like, holy crap, is this kid going to win it? And it felt like he was just sort of playing with house money at this point. But then that kind of flipped it and you put the pressure on him. And you're like, holy, this is one of the guys now. And when those expectations come, that's when things start getting a little harder. So I love watching him play. Like I said, I hope that he's in the mix, but I wouldn't be putting any of my hard-earned dollars on him quite yet. Like maybe next year when he's taken the scars and he's figured things out, but I still think it's a little bit early. Like these Open Championships, there's so many great players, the weather, all this stuff. maybe he surprises me here, but I would be really surprised to see Auberg at the top of the leaderboard when we finish up on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I think the only chance, I shouldn't say only because of how good he's been, but I think the far and away best chance for him to win is if this is like Colin Morikawa's Open Championship win when it was just regular weather over there and they happened to be playing Lynx golf, and then he called it the British Open to all their faces when he was accepting the trophy. I think that's when you see it, because if it is just a kind of regular golf tournament on a very gettable course, then I could see Auberg doing it. But yeah, I'm not there betting on him yet.
Just a quick one. Yeah, on please. This is from Andy Lang Betts on Sports. I was searching it up on all X right. While you were talking. Beautiful. There Ludvig Auberg is number 7 in round 1 scoring, number 91 in round 4 scoring. Last 4 tourneys, his final round has been by far his worst round. So
there you go.
Be careful. Yeah. With him.
No, careful.
Still
out there.
Young.
That's a good thing to kind of tip our cap to or mention to there, the idea of Auberg. It's so hard to win. And in any other world, like if this was even 5 years ago, we'd say, wow, what a great start. I can't wait to see him win his major in 5 years. But it's just expectations are different now. Guys kind of shoot up to the top. But also, it doesn't always happen, right? Like we would have for sure thought Hovland would have a major by now, and it hasn't exactly worked that way.
Yeah, and he hasn't been playing good at all. No. He's off form this year. He's had a really shaky, weird year where it felt like he was just going to be undeniably great, and it just kind of hasn't gone his way. Too much tinkering, bud. Tinkering isn't what you want to do.
Well, it's funny. I wasn't going to mention this, but I don't know if you saw this quote. It was a great one from Ludvig Auberg, and he got asked actually like about that exact thing, about the idea of a golf swing. And, you know, the reporter worded it in a way of like, you know, it's a constantly evolving thing. How do you manage to rein it in? And he compared it not to reining it in or an evolving thing. He said his golf swing is just like brushing his teeth. It's just like a daily habit he wants to stay on top of. And I think that's actually probably really good advice for all of us, is little tweaks here and there, not big sweeping changes. One other name I wanted to throw at you, Justin Thomas. This guy's been kind of lost in the wilderness. He had a good showing at the Renaissance Club. This is a guy who, if he is able to find his form, I could see him having a fun week. And honestly, I'd just love to have him back in the mix, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Justin Thomas, but ever since the full swing thing, and I don't know, he's not my favorite guy. I have to be totally honest. I like that he's a star and that he's in the mix and like he's one of the guys for sure. But I've gone kind of from rooting for him to not rooting for him. I he's just out of my inner circle here now, Gunnar. I got to be honest. Like I he's gone from a guy that I cared about, a guy I used to bet on, a guy I've won money with. I won money on him at both the PGA championships he's won. I had him in both of those. And I've just kind of gone out of the circle of trust. Nice having him back in the mix. You're right. Nice to have one of the stars kind of start being stars again here. But yeah, I don't really have a whole lot on him anymore. Is that weird?
No, I don't think it is, because I don't agree with you. And I still very much count him as one of the guys I want to see in there. But out of sight, out of mind, man. Like, we got Ludvig Auberg's popping up every 4 minutes in this sport now. If you have a year or two where you're not firmly in the mix, I mean, we've even kind of been there with Jordan Spieth. The only difference is he's truly the golden child, as opposed to Justin Thomas, who's like kind of golden child. That's the way I kind of look at it there.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And, you know, I think you mentioned Jordan Spieth too. He's a guy that you always like watching at this because he's so creative and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've fallen out of love with JT, buddy. He's just, you know, and one of my cousins, shout out Tyler, cousin's husband. He's a diehard Florida Gators all sports fan. And he's always talking to me about what a spoiled Alabama baby he is. And he's always hammering me about JT. So I'm like, I stand with my Gators. I stay with my boy Tyler. So I just, I think you played golf with Tyler at my wedding,
right? Yeah, I have a wonderful picture after both of us shoved it tight on a par 3 of him showing it that it was inside the leather. So I guess I have to side with Tyler as well.
Yeah, he's the man. But Gators. I don't know. There's a lot of pretentious guys out on the PGA Tour. I wouldn't be watching a ton of golf if I was cheering for some pretentious guys. But there's just something about JT these last couple years that just rubbed me the wrong way.
That's fair.
I hated him on the Ryder Cup team. I didn't think he deserved to be there. Like, he's got to earn back my love.
That's fair.
He's got to earn it.
That's fair. Okay? But if it was a world where it's not just the non-pretentious guys, it's like we only cheer for Aaron Rye and his iron covers and two black gloves. And I got to be honest, I don't want to live in that
Weekly
world.
Still on tour?
I don't know. I don't think he'll be teeing it this week. All right. You good on the Open Championship?
I am good on the Open Championship.
All right. Now, the main course. Mm. We've been good boys. We did the main golf off the top. Whew, we had a time in Alberta. We love to give a little golf guys travel journal when we can. And by that, I mean the one time weekly or yearly we take a golf trip together. We come on and do a pod about it. Great time in Alberta. Got to check another top 100. By the way, I just saw the score top 100 out off the list. So we got to check one of those off, played another great course in Edmonton. And then the people of Lacombe, Alberta were also great to us. I don't want to lead the witness here. Just where do you want to start with our wonderful trip, Sammy?
So, just shout out the Northern Bear. That course was like really, really interesting layout. You know, it feels like it was 37 degrees at the coolest the entire time we were out there. Feels like they have a hard time keeping water on the course. But as a layout, it was phenomenal. Both of all, you were really impressed. We went to the Petroleum Club. Shout out Barry. Had a wonderful time there. Really cool track. Really playable. Would clearly be a great members course because there's just so many fun, playable holes. And then, we got to Lacombe. This is my third straight year going to Lacombe. This is now your second year going to Lacombe. And it's, it's so funny to me that all these guys that when you go out and you play with all different people and they're like, why are you coming here? And, our boy, Andrew Walker, who, his buds with Cargs there. And he got me to go out there. And what I always tell these guys is I wouldn't dream of not coming. The first year, you win your flight the first year. That's a good way to be addicted to something. That's a good way to come back. But just, I can't say enough good things about Lacombe Golf and Country Club and our trip. Like, just every single guy. How many times did I say to you, Gunner, oh, he's a sweet guy. Yeah. Oh, he's a sweet guy. The group of guys that are there, it's an incredible membership. And we just have an absolute blast there. And just the tourney's so well run. The matches, the chipping contest, the long drive contest, the deuce pot, all the stuff that they run there. It's just really runs like a well-oiled machine. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, I got my first dalliance of tournament golf last year when I made the trip, and I'm right there with you. Like, I'm locked in for life. It's a great kind of flighted match play. That's the hard thing about it. You'll hear people say, oh yeah, I enter a tournament, but it's stroke play or it's match play, and you're against guys that are nowhere near your ability, and you got to kind of give strokes, and it just makes it more complicated. It really is well run there. I mean, the other thing I'll say, and I'd say this for all the people or most of the people we've met across Alberta in these travels, but I mean specifically for the people of that town, is like they've just been so incredibly welcoming. Like, I feel like I've got a bunch of lifelong, 1 week a year friends, to put it mildly there. It's so it's incredible. I'll do the bragging for you, bud. You won your flight the first year. Then you got booted up to the next one. And
didn't go great.
Okay, you said it. But then you're back where you belong. And now you didn't win the absolute A-side champ like you did the first time. You lost your first match. You went on a run. I got to watch you finish it out, and you're a champion again there. I got to see you spending your hard-earned money in the pro shop when they gave you your prize. I'm just proud of you, bud. Not many people could say they've won two different sides of the same kind of handicap flight. Yeah. You can. I was proud of you. You put in a wonderful performance. And honestly, it really is great to have tournament golf like that where you're locked in, you're caring, but you're still having a great time. You're riding around in the cart with these guys, and it's not a uber serious event, but guys take it very, very seriously. So I just wanted to shout you out, bud. I was really proud of you.
So I will say that my first match played against my boy Squid, and he beat me good. He's a hell of a player. Second match played against our boy Andrew Walker. We don't need to get into the details of what happened there, but I beat him.
Yes.
And then on the Sunday, I played in the morning. It was rainy. I played against a guy named James, Jimmy Gordon, hell of a guy. We had a blast.
That's why you're so down on the Open Championship, because we stood out in the rain for 5 hours on Sunday playing golf, and you're like, too soon.
It wasn't raining too bad when I was out there. It poured. I was off the course by the time it poured, but it was a wonderful time. And in the afternoon, I played a guy named Eric Dahl, I believe, and we had an absolute great match, fun time. By the end of it, right, where if you don't win your matches on Saturday, there's this a better ball in the morning. So people go out that they play. But by the time you get to the sixth or seventh hole, like, it's a gallery. Like, when we came up on number six, there was a gallery of people and everybody's watching you play. And I will say, when I won it on 17 and the whole gallery's around there and people are clapping. It was awesome. And like, I don't like, I'm like you said, I'm not going to brag about it. I'm not really that type of person. I don't really like to brag about stuff, but it felt really damn good to win. I have to be honest. And the guy I played against, Eric, was a hell of a guy. He was super gracious. He hit a bunch of awesome shots, but it was just, you know, I played really great golf and I won that side of it. I've got my Lacombe hat on as we speak.
Same.
It was just great. So, yeah, I don't really have anything else other to say, but it was fun. And boy, let me tell you, 36 holes, 2 days in a row. Bye, was I tired that night. I don't think I've slept harder than I slept at old Walker's parents' house that night. I was so gassed, but it was a lot of fun. So I appreciate you doing the bragging for me. I'm now 7-1 in the third flight in Lacombe, buddy. I'm like the Tiger of Lacombe of the third flight. I can't be beating my matches. So it felt good. Good, Gunner. Thanks, buddy.
Good for you, pal. I don't know if you want to sneak in. We won't sneak them in. We'll just do them. But I'm a little afraid to start naming names because I don't want to forget.
I have
anyone.
A little list. Here.
Okay, I do as well. So I'll let you. I'll let you go. We'll end it with some shout outs here to the wonderful people.
So, thanks to Weston Gillett at Lacombe, the head professional there. Penny Andrew Penstone put us up. George Saganis, the wonderful Pies from Lido's. We had a great time playing Bones in the backyard at Penny's. Andrew Walker. Who else do you got?
Oh, I got us. Brett McElroy, part of the crew there. Our boy Scotty, yep. He was on my Bones team. And yep. I want to give a shout out to the guy I was paired up with. This is the type of thing that made me feel welcome. Is I remember telling you guys this. I'm like, I'm so bad with names. I can't remember anybody's. There was a redhead I played with last year. Me and him got along great. And as I say that, I turn around in the pro shop and he goes, Gunner? And sure enough, it was my boy, Matt Williams, there. He demanded we played together in the better ball on Sunday, even though Saturday night got a little bit the worst of him. But I think it does to all of us on occasion. So I wanted to give a shout out to him as well. But yeah, just everybody there. And I'll say this as well. Like, that tournament's incredibly well run. I don't know that you're going to have, you know, the experience you've had, but get out there and try to play some tournament golf, even if it's out of your comfort zone. If you can find something that is a handicap flighted or even just the idea of something in your kind of neck of the woods, the idea of playing some tournament golf, testing yourself in that way. It was awesome. Oh, and I did want to end this. It's like at the high end of the tournament, you know, let me put it this way. I'm at the bottom of the bracket. You're in the middle. And then there's a championship flight. The guy who lost in the final of the championship flight had made 5 cuts on the PGA Tour. It is remarkable the level of golf you could see at some of this stuff as well. So
it was Tom McKinley Jr.
who beat him, and it was Wes Martin who he beat in the final after an incredible up and down to get it there. The idea of cruising around in carts with your buddies and maybe have a cold pop in there with you, just cruising around, it is 30. Wonderful. Or 30. Yeah, it again.
I will say, you know, McKinley Jr., you know, I think it's his nephew, Brady, who's really great young player. He's
nearly qualified for the Canadian Open. Yeah.
He's really great young player, played collegiately in the States, and his uncle taught it like the wall at Lacombe is, it's a dynasty. Like, it's just McKinley everywhere. Like, but the whole group is there. It's great. But I really had a great time, and I don't really have much a whole lot else to say, but thanks to everyone out there, and really looking forward to watching some burnt out fields this weekend at the Open Championship.
Get out of here, you. Get out of here. It's going to be a great Open Championship. All right, Sammy, thanks so much for doing this with me. Thanks again to the people of Lacombe, and thank you for listening. It's been The Golf Show with The Golf Guys.